You may open your Bibles this day to the book of Matthew. To the book of Matthew. We're going to be in chapter 13. Now, I'm not starting with the first parable. Brother David is going to do the first parable. But I'm going to start in verse 44 because the first parable is huge. The first parable begins in 13:1. And goes all the way through 23, so it's rather a large parable. It's a huge parable, and but I'm going to grab two little ones. Okay, I guess I cheated. I took the easy way out, right? And give Brother David the big, long, tough one, right? And I get two little easy ones, but they're all important. Every one of them. And one of the things that I want to stress here is because I'm not starting at the beginning, Jesus spoke these parables in an order, in a progressive order. So we need to remember that this parable comes after hearing about the sower. This parable comes after hearing about the tares. This parable comes after already some things have been established. So I want us to understand that these two parables are speaking to believers. And they're speaking to believers about the kingdom and just how this looks when we understand, truly understand, come to understand the kingdom. And realizing that there are two types of people. Jesus spells this out for us. There are two types of people that come into the kingdom. So let us begin with the Word of God, because it all has to begin with the Word of God, because in the beginning was God and God spoke. Amen. So let's let Him speak this day from Matthew 13, 44 through 46. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid again, and from joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Fairly simple, right? Fairly simple. Well, I want us to break this parable down. I want us to understand that when we look at this parable, we're looking at two entirely different types of individuals that come to the kingdom of God. Okay? There's two guys here. We have one guy that is not necessarily looking for something, but all of a sudden finds it. Okay, it's a hidden treasure, and he finds this thing. It would be like you or I going for a hike out across the country, and all of a sudden we come up upon this pile of rocks and we just go over and we sit down just to take a break and we realize we're sitting on a pile of gold. How many of us are going to go tell everybody about that thing? Well, aren't we all supposed to tell people about the kingdom of God? Aren't we supposed to tell people about Jesus? Well, now this guy hid it. That's my point when I say the parables break down a bit, all right? They're to teach specific points, all right? I want us to understand that here this guy finds something, because the point is he found it. He wasn't necessarily looking for it, but there it was, and then he goes and buys it, all right? The second gentleman, he was looking for something. And how many people in life are looking for something? You know, there are people who they're not necessarily looking for the gospel, but all of a sudden, boom, they're face to face with it, and they realize it, and they have to have it. And then there's this second guy. They're looking, okay? And I know people that are looking, all right? There are all kinds of people who are looking, because we'll try this, and we'll try that, and we'll try this, and we'll try that. These are the people who sign up for karate, and then they sign up for belly dancing, and then they sign up for, and then they sign up for, and then they sign up for, and they just, nothing satisfies them. Nothing gives them that meaning. Nothing gives them that purpose, because they're looking for that thing that is the definer. Well, there's only one. He has a name, and his name is Jesus Christ. So we see that there are two types of people that truly do come to the kingdom. Those who necessarily aren't looking, but all of a sudden find. And those who are seeking intently, and they don't know what they're looking for. I mean, they have an idea of what they're looking for, but as soon as they find the real thing, they know they got it. And they're willing to sell everything they have, to get rid of everything they have, to have that thing, to have that one. And that one is the gospel of Jesus Christ. So when we look at this parable, we need to understand that there are a couple of things that both of them have in common. The first one that I want us to realize is that both of these gentlemen recognize value. Okay? They recognize the true value that is there when it is presented to them. So while the world around us, you know, I want you to think about this. If you had no idea, and I think it's funny, because how many of you know what natural gold looks like? Okay? Natural gold can be ugly. It can look like rust. It can be black. It can be orangish. Okay? So if you don't really know what you're looking at, you could be sitting on a pile of gold all your life and sell it to somebody because that's a worthless piece of junk land. And the next thing you know, that guy put a gold mine on it. Okay? Which again speaks to the parable because it speaks to, well, these people sold this stuff of great value. Yeah, we'll get to that in a minute. But here we understand that the merchant knew. What was he doing? He was looking for a specific thing, the pearl of great value. He knew there was something. This speaks of someone who's out there trying religions. Okay? It speaks of someone who's out there trying to find that which is going to fulfill him. This speaks of Paul when he was in Greece and he saw the statue or the temple to an unknown god, because even those people, they were looking for God. They were, you know, they had so many gods that they built an altar just in case we forgot one. Well, Paul showed them they did. Not just one, the one and only Jesus Christ. Okay? So here we have these people, you know, they understand, they know that when they found this thing, that it has value. How does that happen? It doesn't happen in our world because many people are presented the gospel. But unless the Holy Spirit, this talks about election, and I'm not talking about your vote. Okay, there's only one vote that matters. Whose vote is it? God's. For there are those of us who have been predestined by God. This speaks of predestination. Boy, this is Calvinism in its utmost. Okay? We are predestined. So you mean God predestined some to hell? Yes, because He knows they won't choose Him. It's not that He sends them to hell before they're ever created. He knows before they're created they'll never accept Him. So we define it as predestination. There are those who are going and those who aren't. So we also know then that the Holy Spirit has to be involved in this. The Holy Spirit has to open this up. Just as the Holy Spirit has to open these parables up to us, so too we also know that God loved us a long time before we loved God. Can I get an amen on that? For yet while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. And so we understand this part of the parable, that the Holy Spirit opened their eyes that they could see this thing of great value and recognize it, okay? And there are a lot of people in this world that walk away from the greatest treasure that they'll ever know. Why? Because they're void of the Spirit. We can't understand that. We're explaining the gospel. We're telling people, you know, who have no hope, who everything's a loss, and we're explaining to them about Jesus Christ, and we just don't understand that they don't get it. Why don't they get it? Because the Spirit's not there. As a pastor, I've had so many people say to me, well, you know, I don't see how you can read that book. That thing is so confusing. I've read that so many times, and I just can't get anything out of it. It doesn't make sense. I think that's cute. Because I wonder how many of them have actually read it. But then it also tells me that they're closed to the Holy Spirit. So I got to pray for them all the more. We don't run away from them. We pray all the more. Because when you're void of the Spirit, that means what's in store for you? Death. Because it's only those who find the treasure, it's only those who seek the pearl that get in. Okay? The second thing, and I think this is kind of neat, because these two guys were determined to have it. I want you to think about their reaction. And both of them were exactly the same. When the guy found the treasure, realized what it was, he said, "Oh, I'll never be able to have it," right? And walked away discouraged. No, he set his mind on having it. How do we know that? Because he sold everything he had to get it. What about the merchant? Here's this merchant. He's looking for a pearl of great treasure. Do you think this guy didn't have money already with him? You know he did, all right? He was going looking for something. He found the treasure that had so much value that he wasn't carrying enough to buy it. He had to go get rid of everything that was in his storehouses so he could have this thing. And he determined to do it. It's a mind of determination. It's a mind that's been touched by the Spirit of God that says, "This I must have, this I must have, this I must have," because there's no other way around it, because it is life. And it's so amazing, because when we have life, the truth of it is, life has us. We can't do anything to hold on to it. He holds on to us. Does that make sense? So can you see, when I talk about the parables do break down a little bit. If you try to take them to the nth degree, they don't work. It's on their front that they work. It's in their face value, the simple lesson that they're trying to teach. Now, there are some that are deep. Oh, my goodness. There are some that are so deep that when you start looking at them, you're going to think, "Oh, how did I miss that?" Because we take so much surface value stuff. Okay? How many of us in life are surface people? I want you to think about that. You know, we take everything at surface value. We don't look below it. But if we looked below everything, we would understand why the government is asking us to do this. We would understand why the government is asking us to do that. We would understand why the government's doing this and doesn't want us to know about it. Not just the government. Your bosses, big business, etc., etc., etc. The evil one wants us to be surface people. Because if we don't ever get below the surface, we'll never grow. How many seeds grow on top of the surface? Very few. They all need to send down roots, don't they? So we need to send down roots into the Word of God. And these two men saw the value that were there, and they were determined to have it. Nothing's going to stop them. Now, one of the things that determination to have something does, especially for these two guys, is it changes them. How does it change them? Well, it changes them because they had to change their lifestyle. They had stuff. Now, all of a sudden, they don't have stuff. Why don't they have stuff anymore? Because they sold it. I heard somebody say it. They sold it. They had to get rid of it, right? So, all of a sudden, they've got a lifestyle change. They've got a personality change, because now they're one-minded. They are focused in one direction. How many of us in life are focused in one direction only? I don't know any human being that is focused in one direction only, because we've got this interest, and we've got this interest, and we've got this interest, and we've got this interest. If we had one focus, how much do you think we could do? How far do you think we could go? I'll be honest with you. Christ showed us that nothing can stop us if we are single-minded. Yeah. When the people were of one mind, God said, "This isn't good," because their one mind was for evil. So God knows what single-mindedness does. He knows how powerful it is. But if we are single-minded unto God, how much can we accomplish? How much can God accomplish in us? So again, these people were changed. And I'm going to tell you right now, how many of you, when you came to Christ, I want you to think about this because I'll tell a little bit of story about me. How many of you, when you came to Christ, people around you thought you were weird, you were strange, you know, it's just a fad, something he's gone through? Because I remember when I came to the Lord, you know, when I really sold out to the Lord, because I was 18 when I gave my life to the Lord, and then I walked with him for a short period of time and then walked away because I didn't understand things of the Spirit, because I was in a denomination and didn't believe in the Holy Spirit, until I found some people who taught me about the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit was already doing work in me, and he was doing work in me, but what I didn't realize was he wasn't doing a whole lot of work in my wife, because she didn't know him either. So she was all concerned because Rich is sold out to the Lord and I'm doing this stuff. I want to sell the farm. I want to, you know, and she's telling her sister and her family, and they say, oh, don't worry about it. It'll blow over. It hasn't blown over yet. Praise Jesus. It's been amazing because that very same thing that overcame me that I saw the value in and sold my farm for brought my wife and my son right along. And it's changed our lives, okay? And now we're getting ready to increase and get a daughter-in-law. We're getting a daughter in the whole match. You know, this is going to be cool. And I can't wait for little ones to run around, but we'll wait for a little while, okay? Amen. Her shirt's as red as her face. Poor Noelle. She'll have to learn. Family is fair game. No, I don't. Only in general, only in general. But it's so amazing because people are. They're going to think you're weird. They're going to call you nuts. Don't worry about it. Be who God wants you to be. Be sold out to Him, because there's only one thing worth being sold out for, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's nothing else in life that matters. You will have other things that you need to do. All of us have jobs. And God wants us to concentrate on those jobs. He wants us to be the best in those jobs that we can be, because God hates mediocrity. If He gives you a task to do, He wants you to do it to the best of the ability that He has given you. He has talented you, He has gifted you with gifts, and He wants you to excel at that to His glory. So that when people look at you, they say, I'm going to pick on Brother Matt. He's the best teacher in the world, because God made him that way. And he's glorifying God by being that best teacher, touching the hearts and lives of those kids. Okay? Because I'll guarantee you, there are going to be fifth graders. It's fifth grade, right? There are going to be fifth graders who are going to remember him when they graduate college, because he's the teacher who made the difference, that made them want to succeed, that they went on to college for. And that's because Jesus Christ is in him, showing these other children that they have worth and value that is far greater than anything. There's the treasure. There's the treasure. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you and I need to understand. That's, you know, people are going to say we're weird. Brother David. Brother David. Out there on the line. How many of those guys, you know, I think it's funny because they call him Preacher David. Reverend. Reverend. Okay. Reverend Dave. Oh, yeah, you know him, huh? Yeah. And it's funny. Yes, I know him. He's the way he is because he sees the value and he wants us to get the value. Okay? We need to understand that God wants us to determine to have him, because he determined to have us. What cost did God have to pay to have us? Now, I want you to think about that. Just what are we all about? We're a whole bunch of sinners who have turned ourselves away from him, who hated him, who scorned him, who hung him on a cross to die. But yet God saw a value to the point that he sold himself. He sold life. He is life. He gave up life that we may have. That's the point. You have to determine. Jesus said it in the garden. Father, not my will, but thine be done. And the love of God poured out on the cross of Calvary and rose up from the grave and is seated at the right hand of God the Father. Now he's the treasure for all of us. And are we going to be sold out for him? One of the things about this parable that I think is kind of neat, and I spoke about it just a little bit earlier, is it talks about the land. And, well, it really doesn't talk about the land. It just says that, you know, this guy was out there and finds a treasure hidden in a field. We hear about the person with the great pearl. Somebody owned it before the merchant bought it, right? So why did they sell it if it has this value? And this is, as I was saying, this is one of the things that I was talking about, is God does not sell the gospel. We need to understand. I don't want you to think you can buy the gospel. You can do something to get there. All right? It doesn't happen. And so many people want to take these parables and say, well, see, they sold and they bought, so I can get in by doing. No, you can't. Okay? Please understand. That's not the point of this parable. It has nothing to do with the landowner. It has nothing to do with the pearl owner. It has to do with the treasure and with the pearl. We need to understand God gives freely the gospel of Jesus Christ. But you all also know, because I have taught you, it will cost you everything. And isn't that what this parable is teaching us? Everybody says, and I'll never forget the first time I taught this. I was at St. Peter's Church in Seven Valleys, Pennsylvania. And I taught this, and man, I'm telling you, I had elders and deacons and even my pastor coming against me and saying, oh, no, you can't say that. That's not right. The gospel's free. You can't. It doesn't cost you anything. I said, well, wait a minute. Doesn't Jesus say that if you'll follow me, you have to give up your life? I said, and doesn't it say in the parables where Jesus is talking to us that we got to sell everything and get this thing? I said, I don't understand what you're talking about. Yeah, it does cost us something. It's not that we're buying in, but we have to sell out. Do you understand that? We're not buying in. We have to sell out to God. We cannot be bought into this world anymore, because no one can serve two masters. No one can serve mammon and God. He will either hate the one and love the other. And unfortunately, in that scenario, who often wins out? Because God simply leaves the equation to you, and sin encroaches. And we become lovers of money, lovers of self. Okay, we see that happening in our world. So I want us to understand that when we look at who we are, what I'm really talking about here is the fact that it will cost us our very sin life. We cannot live with God. We cannot take this treasure and value this treasure and not be transformed by it. Okay? Because He is a transforming God. So therefore, that brings me to my third and final point. For having recognized the value and the fact that they must have it, these people understood the principle that is spoken of in Isaiah 55 and 1. Please turn to Isaiah 55 and 1, because I don't want us to be void of the Scripture simply because I'm teaching on three little verses. Is there anything that speaks to it? Yes, turn to Isaiah 55 and chapter 1, because I want us to understand God does speak to us. God does, you know, this is Old Testament stuff coming to truth. And there's no reason why we shouldn't be bringing this stuff in. In 55 and 1, the prophet here is speaking to the people, and he's telling them a truth that resonates for all the ages. He says, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. What does he say? Come buy and eat without money, and without cost. Okay? What are we going to spend? We have to spend our sin. We have to spend it. Get rid of it. When we come to the water, the only thing that satisfies, we must get rid of those things. God offers us manna from heaven, but that means we have to give up the stuff from Egypt. Remember how they grumbled? Oh, well, we had leeks and we had, we had pomegranates and we had, we had pudding and And God rained down manna from heaven for them. If you want to have God's manna, you've got to give up the things from Egypt, right? That's what he's telling you. Give up the things of the world. And God will give you the things of his heart and his desire. So again, it's understanding that we've got to get rid of something. The picture here is of the renouncing of everything that is against the nature of God, okay? If you're going to have this pearl, if you're going to have this treasure, you need to get rid of everything that negates that treasure, everything that negates that pearl. We need to get rid of all the stuff. How much of it? That's a little three-letter word. How big is that three-letter word? It's infinite. Okay? Hear me. It's infinite. That little three-letter word is infinite. In other words, any one little thing that you hang on to, you've not given all. Right? Okay? Any little speck that is left, you've not gotten rid of all. How many of you ladies clean all the dust in your house? I think it's funny because I used to have a pastor friend because he loved to mess with people. And when he would go to their house, he would just rub his hands above the door lintels. I would have kicked him. You know what I mean? If I'd have been a lady in his church, I'd have just kicked him. Because, you know, I hate to say it, but how many of you ladies, when you know pastor's coming or company's coming, you all run around and clean everything at the last minute, right? Though you've cleaned it the day before and the day before that, you got to clean it again. And then you got this sucker who comes in there and he's checking just to see if you got it all, right? How many of you ladies want us to, how many of you want me to come over and touch the top of your ceiling fan, right? Or pull your china closet out from the wall. It just, okay? We have to understand. We have to understand. We need to get rid of all the stuff. All the stuff. Now, with everything I just said, how easy is that, Marion? It's not easy, is it? That's why Christ died. He knew we couldn't make it the whole way. So he came to meet us. Amen? He bridges the gap. But we got to try, folks. Okay? We got to try. And as we're confronted with things, okay, as we're struggling with things, we need to give them up. And we need to get people around us who are willing to help us deal with it, too. Now, you know, that's not in the parable, but that's a principle of the church. Okay? That's a principle of the church. And I just wanted to bring that out. People of this world do not accept the truth of God and the value that we see here because they don't have the spirit to know the God or to know truth. That's why we're an offense to them. You know, that's why we're nuts. That's why we're crazy. That's why we're bigots. That's why we're homophobes. That's why we're, you know, and the list goes on and on and on, right? So we need to understand that there are going to be people who aren't going to see the value in the pearl. They're not going to find that treasure that's in that field because they're stuck in this world. And that's okay. We're also supposed to be a light trying to show them that. That doesn't mean you shove it down their throat. But if you're constantly around, you know, and we were kind of talking about this today in the men's group. If you're constantly around and if you're being that iron that's going to sharpen iron in their lives, you can bring them to the place where in time they may understand. In time, they may hear the Spirit of God wooing them. It took time for me to hear the Spirit of God wooing me because my sin didn't want the Spirit of God, but the Spirit of God wanted me. And I had to have people around me and circumstances happening in my life that allowed that to happen. So we need to understand that this world is going to be at a place where it doesn't see that value. It doesn't see that worth. It's not going to be sold out. And we need to simply continue understanding the value that we have and showing it to people. In our world today, how popular is that, folks? I'm telling you right now, if you read the scriptures, being a Christian in the end times is not going to be fun, but it's going to be the most worthwhile thing you can do. Because as we save those, because Jude says, snatch them right out of the flames. And buddy, I'm telling you, the flames are burning pretty bright right now. Look around the world. Rome is burning. And we're supposed to be snatching them right from the flames. Why? Because we know that which has value. We know that which satisfies. We ourselves need to understand that as we cling to Christ, as we cling to this treasure, so too the world is going to cling to sin. Amen? Because it's the same picture in opposite. We see the treasure, God, the gospel, salvation, and we want to cling to it. The world sees God and wants to flee from it and take up everything of the world. Because it's here and now. We're talking eternal measures, aren't we? We need to remember that. Because we're talking the eternal salvation of many, including ourselves. We must surrender our old selves, our prejudices, our past way of thinking, our selfishness, our worldly values, and surrender everything to God. Jesus tells us, if you would, turn to Mark 8. This is my last scripture, and then I'm going to land. Mark 8. The very truth that I've been speaking of, and I even spoke of it a little bit earlier, but I want us to read it. Mark in the 8th chapter. We're going to begin in verse 34. Jesus here had just explained to them that he was going to die and be killed and 3 days later raised. And Peter says to him, you know, he pulls him aside and begins to rebuke him and tell him, you know, you shouldn't be teaching this stuff, you shouldn't be saying this stuff, whatever. We have no idea what Peter said to him. But it was amazing because Jesus rebuked him and said, get thee behind me, Satan, right? And then right on the heels, he turns to all the people who are there, and he says, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? For what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. When we look at that word, this is the understanding of this parable, that Jesus is telling us what he has for us is far greater than our own lives, the sin in our lives, the stuff of this world, and we need to give it up and follow him. We need to take up our cross and follow him. We need to let all this stuff go that's in this world, stop seeking after it, because it does not profit a man, okay? What would it profit a man to gain the entire world yet lose his soul? How many people are seeking after the entire world and yet forfeiting their soul? We need to remember there's only one treasure that satisfies. There's only one treasure. There's only one great pearl, and that is the gospel. That is Jesus Christ our Lord. And God will not be ashamed of us when he comes. And 9:1 says, truly, I say to you, there are some of those who are standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God after it has come with power. What's he talking about? Do you realize that once we accept that treasure, once we have sold everything, we're in the kingdom. We're here. And the power of God is right here for us to live this life. You know, it took me a long time to understand that. And I'm not kidding you, as a pastor, I bet it took me, I'm going to say 7 years into my after my conversion the second time, when I came unabashedly without any reservations, when I truly saw the treasure for what it was and got rid of everything else, and then God opened that scripture up to me, because I realized, holy cow, I got it. I'm here. I haven't died. And I see and I received. It's now that I stand in the power of Jesus Christ, which is life eternal on this side of the grave. And I've seen people healed. I've seen people set free from demons. I have seen people saved from the eternal pit of fire. That's power. My question to you is this. Have you found that treasure? And are you ready to receive even now? Would you pray with me? Lord God, we come before you as your children, and we open our hearts in prayer and in praise, because you have shown us that pearl of great value. You have shown us that treasure hidden in the field, and it is made manifest to us. And we are, Lord, in the process of selling off everything we've got so we can purchase it. Lord, we're selling off all our sin. We're getting rid of all the stuff of this world so we may have that treasure, so we may have that pearl, that we may go forth into this world. And Lord, right now, if there's any person here who is recommitting themselves or opening their hearts up in that reality, we would pray, Father, that you would move in them even now to call on your name, that you are the Savior, Jesus the Christ. And Father, I just pray that anyone who would pray that even now, that they would open their hearts to come forward and just receive from you that assurance of faith. Because, Lord, you are making a way for each and every one of us to know you, to love you, and to find life eternal, the greatest treasure of all. For it is unto the Father and unto the Son and unto the Holy Spirit that we give our thanks, grace, and praise for your love in Christ Jesus. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.